Tonight on Good Friday, the word good coming from the archaic or old English version of the word, meaning something sacred, revered, pious, and holy. Thus, good in what it does and accomplishes. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on the way of the cross, on this Good Friday, the night of the Passover, leading to the crucifixion, we look to you, Lord, understanding that what is unfathomable for us, the mystery of the cross, brings us our salvation and the hope of a resurrected life, an eternal life that can only come through you. Let us too be willing to bear our cross as followers of Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. The Good Friday reading beginning in Luke 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you to a large room upstairs, all furnished, and making preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be, who would do such a thing. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I among you as one who serves? You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without a purse, bag, or sandal, did you lack anything?" Nothing, they answered, nothing. He said to them, but now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yet what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciple said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and he prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and sweats like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Then seizing him, they led him away, took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some of there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, Peter said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, prophesy who hit you. And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Messiah, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, Are you the Son of God? He replied, you say that I am. Then they said, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his lips. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposed payment to taxes to Caesar and claims to be the Messiah, the King. So Pilate asked him, are you the King of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for charge against this man. But they insisted. He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and now he's come all the way here. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, for he had long been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I'll punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they see Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that have never bore, and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes up by casting lots. The people stood watching, and rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one, let him save himself." The soldiers also came and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood in a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid to rest. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandments. The Good Friday reading from the Gospel of Luke. Reading this story and watching the video, the Via Dolorosa, we see the passion, the Latin word for suffering and enduring. We see the passion of the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. And he is on the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. Again, Latin for the way of sorrow and pain. Christ marches through the city with his cross to his crucifixion. And this path led to his death on that cross. And then on that cross, Christ gave these last words. The last words, the seven last sayings of Christ from the four Gospels. First, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Second, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Third, "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother." Fourth, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The fifth, "I thirst." Sixth, "It is finished." Seven, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In these words, we see forgiveness, salvation, relationships, abandonment, distress, triumph, and reunion. First, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do," from Luke. The first saying of Jesus on the cross, traditionally called the words of forgiveness. Jesus prays for forgiveness for those who are crucifying, all that were involved. And the symbol of Christ's vicarious death, substitution death for Barabbas, cannot be missed. How Barabbas, the man guilty of insurrection, guilty and punishable by death, is released. And instead, Christ marches towards the crucifixion. Christ dies for us. And in that, he says, "Forgive." And later it says, in the way that he forgives us, or I should say, earlier he had said, "As I have forgiven you, forgive others." Second, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Excuse me. "Today you will be with me in paradise," from Luke. The words of salvation, the hope for all, even in our darkest and most desperate times, as this thief on the cross, we may call upon God. "Behold your son, behold your mother," from John. Jesus saw his own mother and the disciples standing near him whom he loved. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, he took his mother into his family. The word of relationship. As far as we know, only John, of all 12 disciples of the men, was at the cross. And Jesus put the care of his mother into his hands, the one who faithfully followed him, even up to the cross. This verse is choosing anyone else, even Mary's own sons. Fourth, my God, why have you forsaken me? From Matthew and Mark, hearkening back to Psalm 22. And at the ninth hour, Jesus shouted in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? The mystery of the incarnation of Christ, God becoming flesh, the mystery of the cross and its revelatory work. Christ one with the Father, yet at the same time, it is as if Christ bore all the pain for our crimes and sins by himself, taking our deserved punishment and wrath upon himself. That which he did not deserve and which we did deserve was given to him. Again, symbolic of Barabbas being set free while Christ marched with the cross. Fifth, I thirst from John, again harkens back to Psalm 22, the word of distress. And it also is symbolic of Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman. And at the well, he offered her living water, salvation in Christ, so that she would never thirst again. But now, under the weight of the cross, Christ himself now thirsts. The statement highlights Jesus' physical suffering and pain, showing his full humanity, yet even as our divine Savior. Number six, it is finished. From John, words of triumph. These last words are seen as a cry of victory, not of a dereliction or defeat. It is finished, it is done, it is accomplished. Christ has come and accomplished what he meant to do. It is all done. These words look forward to the new heaven and new earth spoken in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the springs of the water of life. From the revelation of Jesus Christ, 21:6. And then 8, speaking in a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. From the words of Luke. Words of reunion. Proclamation of Jesus joining God the Father in heaven, sitting at the right hand. When darkness seems to prevail in life, we must fall to our faith. The last words of Jesus from the cross show his absolute trust in God. And even as he gives up his spirit, he knows he'll be with the Father. For us today, let us too speak. I commit myself to you, O God, in my living and in my dying. I trust in you. In good times and in difficult and bad, whatever I am and have, I commit and I place my life and death in your hands. Tonight we remember the cross. Let us take up our cross, dying to sin in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, dedicating, devoting our life above all else to Christ alone. The mystery of the cross is profound, beyond comprehension. When we look at creation, going back to the beginning, we were never meant to die. Yet in this fallen world, the grave awaits us all. That is never the question. Yet in the cross, Christ defeated death and returns us to eternal life, bringing back the hope and purpose that only He can do. And today, Christ continues to meet us at our time of deepest need and distress. Let us commit our spirit to Him. To die with Him is to live with Him. To set the things of this world, the things that we may value, secondary to the cross of Christ, secondary to serving Him. Let us choose again, or let us choose for the first time on this Good Friday night to follow Christ, to dedicate ourselves to Him. On this Good Friday, to place our hope and purpose in Christ alone. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, let us take these words to heart. And Lord, as we partake in communion together, Lord, let us do these things in remembrance. Let us place them in our heart. Let us make it a matter of devotion. Let us make it a matter of our life. Lord, that in our deepest and darkest trials, maybe some are in those tonight, and maybe some are yet to come, let us remember to always fall into Your hands. Lord, when we thirst, to remember that You offer living water. Lord, let us commit our spirit to You and to Your accomplished and fulfilled work in Your death on the cross that brings hope as only we can have in You. Father God, our Creator, we pray this empowered by Your Holy Spirit. In the name and character of Your Son, Jesus Christ, let these things be. Amen and amen.